What's the board that says winners board out there? You have one in both places. What sort of things do you track on that?
So we do a winners board for all of our drills, and it's sometimes that you know you're just looking for any slice you can to kind of maintain the competitiveness in the gym. And so it's really ridiculous. Our guys stay really competitive about it. They're, you know, our guys will be in a drill that has nothing to do with the defensive side of the ball, but they mistakenly tip a ball, and they're screaming at our manager, "That's a deflection! Count me up for a deflection!" And so it's just a one of a million ways to try and keep guys engaged and focused.
What's your practice philosophy, and let's move beyond the get better every day, because I know that already. What's a little deeper?
If you ask me philosophically, I would say get better every day is the deepest. I mean, genuinely, I would, because I think that's the thing. If you can live there in the monotony of trying to get better every day, then I think that makes all the difference. In terms of practice philosophy, we have some things that we address every single day that are most important things, and then practice otherwise is pretty standard. This group, one of the things that's fun about this group is that it's a really, really veteran group, so we can tweak things on the fly all the time, and the guys pretty much keep up. Like, that's actually been really fun. If there's other teams where if I was coaching other teams the way I'm coaching this team, we might look completely lost out on the floor. Because a lot of times it's just like do the same thing over and over and over again and get good at it, or keep the playlist really, really tight so that guys have enough reps on a given play where they've run it 1,000 times, and so they can, you know, they just know exactly what they're looking for. But with this group, it's veteran guys, and so we kind of throw new stuff out every single day, and they're pretty good at picking it up. Just little nuances of actions too, and so it's fun.
Is it based, I'm assuming it's based on what you went through as a player in college and pro and your coaching experience and all that's kind of a combination? Or is this strictly from a specific experience and practice that you had?
You mean just,
how
we practice?
How you practice?
Well, I think it's, I mean, I don't know that there's, I don't know that there's, if you're going to have wide variation in practices going from place to place to place. There are some things that we've picked up along the way. We do we've done a Bucks drill since, just kind of start one phase of practice since, halfway through my first season as a head coach, and it's something I'll keep forever because it gives me, some feedback about where we are in the day, right? In terms of like a shell drill idea, like we'll have a shell drill session that every team in America does some type of shell drill every single day. I'm not giving you very good stuff. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not that smart. We do what we believe in, and we come back to it. I'll tell you. So I was talking to Tony Bennett, and I was talking to Tony Bennett and Richie McKay when Richie was assistant there. He's now crushing at Liberty. And we were like two straight back-to-back games sitting next to each other just watching the game. So I started asking about Virginia and how they do what they do and how it's been so successful. And they were like, the thing that we fight more than anything else as coaches at Virginia is we fight our guys getting bored. Because we do the same thing every single day, and that's how you get good at it. And it's not sexy, and it's not interesting. You know the guys that become great post players? The guys that practice the same quick and the same hook over their left shoulder so that it becomes something that is so routine and mundane that they can do it under the most pressure, disorienting, body-pushing circumstances. And so it's really not, like, this game is not about being some genius that recreates it, that tricks everybody else. It's about, George Karl told, one of the things I take from George is, I heard him say this 10 times. It's like, a coach's job is to say exactly the same thing 1,000 different ways. Because you work to keep your team's interest, keep them inspired, keep them working, but greatness comes from doing the same thing over and over again until you do it great. And like your guys' job is so hard because you have to write an article every day and you can't write the same thing every day, right?
You can say the same thing 1,000 different ways.
Ultimately, I think that's what you have to do, right? And honestly, like from my, and this is, we're getting philosophical here, I'm wasting your time, but from my perspective, sometimes when I'm like, you know, when I see something, I'm like, well, why'd they write that? I'm like, you know what? This guy has to write something every single day. And so sometimes, you know, it just is, and so in that sense, you understand the feel that we have. Like, to become great, we have to approach it every day and do it over and over and over again. Jake Toulson shoots the ball the way he does because he practiced the same thing over and over and past the boredom and through the monotony and the whole deal. Kobe Lee is getting better because for, you know, what are we on, 7 months now or whatever, he has shot the same shots over and over and over and over every single day. And you know what happens? He gets in the game and all of a sudden becomes really sexy because he's actually producing. And so I believe in that with all my heart. And it doesn't mean that you don't get really creative with little tweaks and tricks and whatever, but if tweaks and tricks are the bedrock of what you do, I don't think you're going to be very good because I don't think you can support the weight of it. Just don't.
Is there a balance that you kind of have to find there with sort of doing the same thing, getting better every day, and now, like, in the throes of conference play, implementing a scout, going through, especially in the WCC, so many different types of teams and that kind of thing? Or,
you know, one of the fights that we always have is, like, the way we do it, the way that we should do it in a certain circumstance, and then can we make the leap and not lose anything? So it's lots of times it's easy to look at a scout and be like, well, this is this team's weakness. We should do that. The question is, can your team do it? And if they do that, what are the unintended consequences of them doing that that take them off away from how you've been successful before? And so making those guesses is what you do. I mean, it really is. It's what you do. It's what you do in conference play. You know, so we were able to give St. Mary's some little kind of counters to what we've been doing that are still within the genre, but it's a little tweak here and a little different thing there that kind of help us. And we do that every single game. Today, we threw a bunch of stuff on the court that was like, it's the same stuff we run, but then this cut is just different. And it's just like, you know, we prepped for this, and then they kind of threw this different deal on. And sometimes it's just like, you know, if we're running a, you know, let's say we've been running weak hands. We run weak hands 3 or 4 times a game, right? Everybody knows weak hands. It's like it's a way to kind of counter downing a ball screen or blitzing a ball screen because it turns into a handoff and we work really hard to actually get a free run at it. So then we just for one game we go slice weak hands or we go weak hands curl where it's actually the instead of the one coming off the weak hands, it's the two coming off the weak hands. Well, that's really frustrating as a coach because you've gone through the scout, you've prepared for the team, and you've prepared your point guard to ring the bell and answer that certain cut in the handoff and what comes after it. And now it's the freaking two that came off it, right? And so it's the same genre for your team. Everybody else is basically doing the same thing, but just a little change like that can actually go a long way, right? But it's still staying in the same family.
How was Jake doing?
He's good. He's, you know, I don't know what he's going to be. I mean, he's limping around, but he threw the football with me before practice, and so his arm's great. I mean, he's freaking throwing a laser.
You need a baseball pass, I guess, like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I know you don't like looking ahead past, like, the next game, but just San Francisco sort of seems to have y'all's number, and just what are you guys going to have to do to make sure that you don't lose a fourth straight to them?
I don't know yet. I don't know. I mean, I know what we got to do. We got to beat Portland. Like that's what we have to do, and so we will find some way to try and beat Portland on the road, and that's a bear. I mean, Portland beat San Francisco, and they had the Zags in trouble, and they haven't won since. But they're clearly an incredibly dangerous team. And my biggest concern right now, if my guys think that a 20-point win that we had here against Portland is going to replay itself there, they've lost their minds. It's not how this works. And so, you know, so. I don't know. I haven't really seen. You know, we talked about San Francisco a little bit Sunday night, and then a little bit Monday. But right now, it's just I'm not smart enough to go there right now. Like we have to find a way to go compete and get better at this Portland game, and hopefully come away with a win. So if you call me on Friday, then I'll be like, hopefully I'll have some idea by then, because then it's getting late.
Yeah. You're a big analytics guy. I mean, is there any particular stats that you've been pleased with to this point in the season in areas maybe that you want to see your team improve statistically?
I shouldn't say this, but I'm super proud that we're the number one team in America in points per possession on synergy. You know, we've been for 6 years now, 2 years at BYU and then 4 years at Utah Valley. Like, we've been crunching and selling and agonizing over and trying to scheme around just this general idea of points per possession. And we're now the number one team in American points per possession. It's not because we've had an easy schedule. It is because we have great players. We have guys that can really play. That's a little gratifying for us, just in the sense of we work so hard at it. Like, I mean, even our recruits, I mean, I can't tell you how many recruits we've had in there like go into a coma after 90 minutes of us trying to sell the analytical part of the game to them. And certainly our guys go through that too, but you know, we've shown progress over the last 6 years, and for us to be where we are right now is pretty fun.
Might have missed it because he came in late, but Connor Harding, I didn't see him out there.
He was thrown up last night and this morning, so hopefully it's just a little food poisoning. You know what these college kids eat, man. It's all kind of crazy stuff. So,
but nothing with the knee, though?
No, knee's good. I mean, the knee's getting better. So he's still on a modified practice schedule. It really worked for us last week, actually. He was more mobile this past weekend than he's probably been in a month, and we need that from him. So I told him this week we'd keep him on the modified practice schedule, and he took it a step further.
What's the plan with Gavin right now?
So Gav is in that 4 to 6 month window. He went and saw the doctor yesterday, and he cleared him. And so, you know, that's cleared for his shoulder. And then now it's his shoulder now and the rest of his body. I mean, nobody's pushed him, and he hasn't had to like stabilize a land on his ankles or anything like that. So, you know, his shoulder is, you know, and like his shoulder is clear in terms of being healthy, but strength wise, we gotta see what he can do and where he can get to the point where he actually is better, right? So, put a red jersey on him today, and we'll probably keep that in as painful as it is to have red in our gym. I might forget like a yellow maybe. And you know, he ran up and down a little bit. We didn't let him get tired. You know, I don't want him on the floor right now when he gets tired. I told Rich he's not really allowed to touch him, and Rich forgot a couple times a day. It scared me to death. So we'll see.
Since deciding to forego the NBA draft and coming back, what has Yoli added to his skill set that would make him maybe even more sought-after prospect?
Well, I think the one thing, and maybe the most important thing that he's added, is that he has become a monster of a teammate. Like, he's become an incredible teammate. Probably wasn't his strength coming into this year. And he spent a lot of time just wanting to get done whatever it takes to win. And that's probably the most important thing he's going to take it with him into camp next year, right? The second thing that's still a work in progress is him playing as hard as he can. There's been a lot of distractions. There's a finger distraction, the suspension distraction, the kind of ankle distraction that all make it harder to like be diving on the floor and playing as hard as you can. But he's got it square in his mind. He's made great progress. Things like transition defense, he's made unbelievable progress. His ball screen defense, he's made unbelievable progress. But he's still got, he's still got significant strides to make for him to get to where he needs to be to kind of go in and earn a draft spot and go in and make a team. And he's working hard at it. And hopefully, you know, we can get to a real clean bill of health where he can double down on all those things. You know, he's become a better passer. His assist opportunities numbers when he's right are off the charts. It's really amazing. I think he's a better communicator right now in terms of on-floor live communication. I'm really proud of him there. I think he's had moments where his isolation defense has been spectacular and some moments where it's not, but I think he's making strides there. So there's a lot of areas where he's showing some growth. He's shooting the ball unbelievably well with great confidence and belief, and so that's been a huge plus for him. And so, I don't know, 56% from the three-point line right now. It's crazy.